he was working in my life and corrugating my life, choreographing, I mean, our lives, so that at the right moment, at the right time, yeah. we could come into an awareness, a revelation, an illumination that he is a reality, and that he is interested in my life. So I know what we mean when we say, well, when did you find the Lord? We're talking about perhaps when we began the steps of our conversion into Christianity or conversion into apostolic truth. But in reality, God has always known where you were. In fact, the scripture suggests to us, tells us rather, amen, that even before we were born, he knew who we were. So we could say today that the Lord has been involved in our lives before we were ever aware of his existence. So what I want to preach to you today about, what I want to talk to you out of the word of the Lord about today is in the form of a question. And my question is, are you what God is looking for? Amen. We are so focused on our search for God that we really do not stop and contemplate the fact that God is looking for people. God's on the hunt. He's searching. Amen. And I think by the time we're through walking through the scripture this morning, we will understand perhaps, or at least be caused to think again about the fact that God's eyes are on my life. God's eyes are on me. And God is looking for something in me. Amen. Now, I know today in pop Christian ideology that God is this big benevolent God, and all we need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all we need to do is just to confess him with our mouth, and God will take us as we are, and God is not expecting too much out of us. But folks, the Bible really doesn't teach that. That is a ideology. Amen. It is a convenient thought, because it sounds good to us, amen, that God would not have so much expectation on our lives. But the fact of the matter is today that God looks at us. He is watching us. He is inspecting, amen, our lives, because he is looking for some things in people. Now, in our text, Jesus is standing at the well of Samaria with a woman, a Samaritan woman. In their day and culture, the Jews did not speak to the Samaritans, because at best they were considered to be half-breeds or even less than that, actually, because of the intermarriage of the conquesting Syrians and all that went by there, and the displacement of the Jews and infiltration of these other nations. So the Jews from the southern part, Judea and so on, did not consider the Samaritans even worth speaking to. Now Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria. And I'm sure his disciples tried their best to talk him out of going to Samaria, because they avoided Samaria. And they went, if they were going to the north, to the Galilee, they would avoid Samaria. Amen. So they didn't have to deal with Samaritans. But Jesus said, I must go to Samaria. Why? Because there was one little lady, and she really wasn't a lady, but we'll call her a lady. There was one woman that he had made an appointment for. Amen. And before this day is over, she goes back to her village. She tells them all that has happened, and they all come out to meet Jesus. And I believe, this is my private belief, I believe this is the beginning, the seedbed for the revival that happens under the evangelist Philip in the book of Acts, amen, in later years. They were primed, they were ready to hear this apostolic gospel about Jesus Christ. And so they believed on Jesus, and I believe it's a direct result from this time when Jesus says to the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. And in this conversation, now the woman is a little confused, because when the kingdom split, the kingdom of Israel split, the north and the south split, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and so on. And Jeroboam knew that he was going to have a problem, because all those under his rulership in the 10 tribes of the north were still going to go to Jerusalem to worship God, because that's what God had told them to do. So he conveniently sets up a place of worship in Mount Gerizim, and there he causes those that are under his leadership to come and begin to worship. This is why she says that we worship in this mountain and you worship in the Mount Jerusalem. And there's this confusion. And Jesus immediately jumps into what is going to happen in the church age. And he said, the time is coming when you neither worship in this mountain nor in the mountain of Jerusalem. Amen. But true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, sandwiched in this conversation is this phrase. Amen. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God is seeking today for true worshipers. Amen. Not just worshipers of their mouth, amen, of ideology, of confession, but he is looking for people who are willing to worship him in every aspect of their being. Amen. With their mouth, with their lives, amen, with the presentation even of their body, amen, everything that you could imagine, because the Lord will never be content, amen, of his will in your life until it is accomplished. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love the sinner. Of course he does. The scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That doesn't mean that God will not love us as we are. Amen. But he loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us as we are. He wants truth, amen, to make its inroads into our life. So I don't know about you today. I don't want to just be a worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. Amen. If God is worth serving, he's worth serving with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with every part of my being. Amen. If he's worthy to be considered today as Lord and Savior of your life, then I'm just suggesting today, amen, that should affect every part of our life. Amen. Every part of our life. Amen. So the scripture teaches us that God is watching. Now, I learned this in Sunday school when I was a little child, and it stood me in good stead, because I have always known, as far back as I can consciously remember, I have always known that God is watching me, watching my, be careful little hand what you do, be careful little tongue what you say, be careful little eyes what you see, for there's a Father up above looking down in tender love, so be careful. Amen. And it bred in me a consciousness, and there is something that will stand you in good stead today if you can have a revelation, a consciousness that God is so interested in my life that he watches my life, he watches me, and he is looking for certain things. Amen. Job chapter 34, verse 21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Amen. Jeremiah 17 and 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Now, is not this Holy Scripture indicating, telling us that God's eyes are on me?
Right.
Amen. God's eyes are on you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that can be a frightening thing if we don't understand that God's intent for our lives is only for good. Amen. He will be our judge one day, but right now, God is wanting your life, amen, to be productive, successful, and the outcome of it be an inheritor of eternal life. That's God's intention. So he's not a big God up there with a big baseball bat waiting for you to step out of line. He has made provision for you. Amen. Not only in the initial birth, amen, the new birth message and provision, the death, burial, and the resurrection, repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Spirit. Amen. That's the beginning point. But when we are baptized into Christ, the Scripture says we put on Christ. When we take on his name in baptism, amen, his blood symbolically is applied to us, amen, so that we in fact enter into the effect of and the force of the blood of Christ.
Right.
And that's why John writes in his letter to the church in 1 John, he said, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ, amen, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That is the power and the effect of the force of the blood of Christ in your life. And know when we make a error, when we make a misstep and make a wrong choice, we don't go back to the waters of baptism. Why? Because we have been obedient to that, and the blood has been applied to our lives, and it comes into force and effect so that when we make a mistake, we take a wrong step, amen, we can find a place of repentance once again, pour our heart out to God, and understand that the force and effect of that blood can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
Right.
The proponents of Reformed doctrine and particularly the doctrine of so-called doctrine of eternal security don't like 1 John. The only way they can dismiss is by saying it wasn't written to the church, it was written to the world. But you read the first chapter of the book of 1 John and you'll find out he's writing exactly to the church.
Right.
Amen. And yes, you can remove yourself from the effect and the force of the blood if you reject Christ. Amen. But thank God his intention in my life is for good, and his provision for me makes it possible for me, amen, to become what he wants me to become.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, the first thing, let's take the text as it stands. The first thing that God is looking in us, he is looking for a worshiper. The Father seeketh such to worship him.
Yes.
Amen. In spirit and in truth. So God is looking today for those who are willing to worship him.
Right.
Now, we have enjoyed a wonderful worship service today. We felt the presence of God in that. And thank God, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And he does inhabit the praise of his people. But I would suggest to you that the mark of a worshiper, amen, extends far beyond a church service. Yes, we worship God in this sanctuary collectively, and we do it in a dimension that is unable to be felt anywhere else, even when we're on our own. We do worship God in our private devotion, but we worship our God, amen, in every moment of every day of our life. Hallelujah. When you're at work, you're a worshiper. When you're at school, you're a worshiper. Amen. When you're out and about doing your daily responsibilities, you are to be a worshiper. We worship God with our lips. We worship God with our attitude. We worship God with our life. We worship God with the presentation, amen, that we make to our world. And God is looking today for true worshipers. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not interested in worshipers that worship on Sunday and live, amen, for themselves and to themselves every other day of the week. He's looking for true worshipers. And the wonderful thing about that, that is a journey. Amen. That's a journey. And at home, we have people that are in all phases of that journey. Some of them just barely starting into learning how to be a worshiper, and others a little further along, and others who've lived for God for many years who have, amen, have learned the fact that every day, amen, every level of their relationship with God, amen, He reveals a new area in which they can worship Him. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. The second thing the Lord is looking for today is God is looking for faithfulness. God, I want to give you a little secret today. God is attracted by faithfulness. Amen. Genesis 6 and 7, the Lord said, amen, to Noah, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing in the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. Noah was a faithful man. And God, in the midst of deciding He was going to annihilate and wipe out His creation, His human family that He had created, could not do so because He saw that in the midst of everybody in that generation, there was somebody that had remained faithful to Him. The reason why you and I are here today, amen, is because one man attracted God's attention by his faithful walk in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. Amen. He walked before God. He was faithful to God. And he served God in the midst of adversity. Brother Abraham, father of the faithful, Galatians 3 and 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Faithful Abraham. Abraham, whom the scripture says was imputed, his faithfulness was imputed for righteousness' sake, so that he was called the friend of God. Amen. God is looking for many things in people, but one of the greatest things He looks for is faithfulness. Now, I confess to you that I have not every day of my life understood what God was doing in my life. I can say to you today that I have lived through some days when I just really didn't feel like serving God. Amen. Didn't mean I didn't want to. But, you know, there's some days you wake up, you just want to pull the covers over your head and just say, let's wait till next tomorrow, right? We're all like that. So what do you do on those days? Well, I'll tell you what faithful people do. They just keep putting one foot in front of the other. They just keep walking for God. They just keep living for God. I don't understand, God, what you're doing today. I don't know, God, why you allowed this today. God, I don't understand this trial, this temptation. I don't understand what's going on in my life. But I tell you what, I'm going to just get up today and I'm going to serve you today. And if I don't understand at the end of the day what to do, then tomorrow I'm going to get up and take another step and I'm going to serve you tomorrow and keep walking by walking before God by faith. Amen. Until one day he reveals in your life what he is doing. Amen. Amen. You just keep doing, amen, what you know in your heart God wants you to do. And by, we understand things. Amen. By and by, the clouds roll back and the sun shines again. Faithfulness is not tested by blessing. Faithfulness is tested by trial, by testing, by hardship, by sacrifice. Amen. Faithfulness says, I'm going to live for God no matter what comes. Amen. Faithfulness says, I'm going to pay the price no matter how much it costs me. Faithfulness says, amen, I'm going to believe God and not man. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live before God under those circumstances. A faithful individual attracts the attention of God. If you want God to be attracted to your life, amen, and be faithful. Build a life of faithfulness. Give your life, amen, to faithfulness. Praise God. He looks, thirdly, for righteousness in men. This is completely contrary to modern Christian thought today. Psalms 35, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Amen. God is looking for people. Amen. I know the term righteousness is probably not used so much in today's modern English and language, but all it simply means is just walking right. And when we say walking or living right, we're talking about walking and living right according to God's laws, not my laws. Amen. According to God's precepts. God loves righteousness. And you know something about it, brother and sister, when you start to walk for God, amen, you do it because you see it in the scripture, because you hear it preached, because you know somewhere in your heart it needs to be done. But after a while, amen, after living a life according to the scripture, you become, amen, that person that loves righteousness. You love that life. Amen. You love living, amen, before God and having the attitude to God, whatever God you want, I want to be. Whatever you want, wherever you want to lead me, I want to be. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, today, amen, God is looking for righteousness in your life. Are you what God is looking for? Hallelujah. Number four, he looks for those who seek truth. Amen. Let me say that again. He looks for those who are in search of truth. Now this is a little tricky one in our day and time, because we live, amen, we live in a day that the fruit of our day, the attitude of our society has been so affected, amen, by philosophy. And whether you stop, and most of us really don't stop and think about it on a daily basis, but we live, amen, in a world of pluralism. Amen. Pluralism, philosophy of pluralism is simply means that there is no one true way, that all roads lead to God. Have you ever heard that? Amen. That everything, amen, if it's right for you, if it's your personal truth, then it's your truth. Amen. If I have a personal truth, then that's my truth. And all of that is right and acceptable. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, we really don't even rationalize that out. If you're coming to us to a stoplight at a high rate of speed and the light says red, you can't say, well, to me, that's green, so I'm just going to go. Because the guy on the other side sees green and says, oh, it's green, I can go. There's a big collision. There's mayhem. There's death. Amen. It does not make sense when you really boil down what pluralism is trying to teach us. What it is really trying to do is lead us away from the idea and thought that there is a truth to be known, that there is truth to be attained, that we can find truth even in the midst of a confused pluralistic society. Amen. We also combat, amen, of course, this falls right into the narcissism of our society where, amen, it's all about you. It's all about me. If it feels good, do it. Amen. This is not meant for you to find truth. But I have good news for each of us today. If you are hungry and thirsty for truth, amen, God will break down every barrier. God will take down every mountain to bring to you truth. And the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The truth is going to make you free. Not set you free. It's going to make you free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Amen. I'm here today to tell you that if you're hungry for truth, God is going to reveal himself to you. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment and seeketh truth, I will pardon it. Amen. God said, I'll hold back my judgment if I can find somebody that's seeking truth. Amen. If I can find just one person, amen, that's seeking truth. Hallelujah. I want to tell somebody today, amen, the reason why the enemy sets up roadblocks in your life to keep you from truth is because he knows that the truth is going to make you free. Hallelujah. The truth is going to revolutionize your life. The truth, amen, is going to change the course of your life. And it'll take you off the broad road to destruction. Put you on the, amen, straight way. And the narrow, amen, way of truth. Hallelujah. Psalms 53 and 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that understood, that understand, and did seek God. Are you seeking God today? Are you seeking God? Hallelujah. Praise God. That search for God must never cease this side of our natural lives. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you serve God, there's more to know of God. And as long as you're hungry and thirsty, God will see that you're filled. Jesus said in his ministry, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Amen. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, he said you'll be filled. Amen. I'm here today to tell you, don't get satisfied or settle down. Amen. Find a place in your life so that it always says, God, I want to know more about you. God, I need truth. I need to understand you in a greater way. Praise God. For the Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such. Amen. Number 5, he sees those whose hearts are turned towards him. You ever heard of body language? Our kids do that. What does that mean? They're mad. They're disappointed. They're not in favor of what you're saying. No. Body language. Well, you can have spiritual body language. What is our attitude towards God? Now when they talk about the earth being in relationship to the sun, and they talk about its pivotal axis, they call that the attitude. What is the earth's attitude at that precise moment? The irony of the situation is, whether you in the north can believe this or not, in the wintertime, you're closer to the sun than in the summer. If you will follow the ellipsis of the earth around the sun, you will discover that in the winter, you're closer actually to the sun than in the summer. Amen. But the difference is the earth is tilted away from the sun, so the solar rays bounce off the atmosphere and keep moving out through space. When we come to summertime, the attitude of the earth tilts towards the sun, and we sometimes get more than we bargained for. It gets hot. Amen. And so it all has to do with how we're positioned towards God. Amen. He's looking for those people whose hearts are turned towards Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord to run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards Him. Amen. We've already established in the Scripture, amen, that we're not perfect even after we begin serving God. But God has given us a provision to perfect us, to keep us forgiven, to keep us cleansed. Amen. So what is this saying? That God's only looking for perfect people? No. There's a difference between perfect lives and perfect hearts.
Come on.
Your heart is that inner being, that essence of who you really are. Amen. That part of you that when your body, amen, is through with its function, amen, that you'll be in the presence of God. It's that heart of you, that soul of you, when it's turned towards God, when it is reaching towards God, amen, God is looking for that one. What is your attitude towards God? Are you leaning towards God? Are you leaning towards the world? Are you leaning towards truth and righteousness, or are you leaning towards my way and my desires and the way I want to appropriate my life? Your attitude, who's your heart turned towards? Notice the story in Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. What was the message? Yet 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh.
Right.
Amen. They turned from their evil ways. And they turned, they recognized the voice of God. It's a miracle because they were a heathen city.
Yeah.
And the Bible says they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And they fasted. And they turned away from their ways. And they turned towards God and repented of the evil that He had said He would, as they turned His way, God repented of the evil that He had said He would do unto them. Amen. When God sees someone whose hearts and lives are turned towards Him, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? Did David sin? On more than one occasion. But God said there's something about his heart. That even when he messes up, and even when he makes mistakes, it's turned always towards me. Nathan walks in and tells David a little story symbolical of the situation is. And David says, tell me who he is. I'll take care of him right now. I'll kill him. I'll take his life. And Nathan says, thou art the man. The product of the Psalms 51 is a product of David's immediate repentance. When he's faced for judgment for numbering Israel. Amen. God gives him three choices of his judgment. And David says, I'm just going to leave it in the hands of God. And you do what's right. Amen. Why? Because his heart. He was not a perfect man. He did not always make the right choices. Amen. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. But he was anointed with God's Spirit.
Right.
Amen. His life was anointed. And he didn't always make the right choices. But he had a heart. Amen. That was turned towards God. Amen. I'd rather work with somebody that has all kinds of problems. Amen. All kinds of weaknesses in their life. As long as their heart is turned towards God.
Yes.
I've worked with people in much better shape on the ledger sheet as far as right and wrong. But they had a heart that was turned away from God. Amen. And it did not fare well for them. Amen. Turn your heart towards God. Be inclined to Him. Be inclined. Amen. Be sensitive to His Spirit. Amen. Spend time with Him and let Him know, God, I want You to talk to me. God, I want You to show me. God, I want You to, amen, help me. Amen. Teach me what I should do. Amen. All friend, the Father seeking such today. Amen. If we're willing to be inclined unto Jesus today, my friend, today, God will see that you succeed. God will make you a success in His kingdom because your heart is inclined towards Him. Praise God. Number six, and we'll stop with six. He is looking for people who are willing to make a difference. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. For I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. In Isaiah 59 and 16, it says, and he sought that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness, it sustained. But before he sent the Messiah, he looked for a man. And there was none. God is always looking for one that's willing to make a difference. Amen. God not only calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light and makes you an instrument of praise and worship, but God calls you into His work. He calls you into ministry. Amen. Now, I am one who believes that everybody that is called into the kingdom of God is called to be a minister. Not everybody is called to pulpit ministry or pastoral ministry. But everybody is called into the kingdom to fulfill the will of God. Amen. A saying that I use at home, and Pastor can readjust this after I'm gone. Amen. Everyone a minister, and everyone a ministry. Everyone is a minister, and everyone has a ministry. God did not call you just to set you down on a chair. Amen. Clean you up and set you like so many people, you know, that collect things. They just buy something pretty and they set it up. And it's on the shelf. Doesn't serve really any purpose. Nice to look at and just sit there. Amen. God called you in the kingdom to be vital, to work for Him, to be used of Him. Amen. There is so much to be done. There is so many things that need to be done. And God is looking today for people who are willing, amen, to take what they have. God's not asking you to take what you don't have, but to take what you have and invest it in ministry, in working for God, for reaching out to somebody else. Amen. Every one of us in this room live in a world that is unique to you. There are people you touch. There are situations you know. There are circumstances that only you will ever discover. Amen. And God wants to use you, amen, to reach that one in your world, to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge before Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prior to the coming of Messiah, He looked for a man and there was no man. So He Himself brought forth, amen, with His own arm of righteousness and salvation. But He left, fulfilling His purpose. He left a church in its inception. And He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teach everyone. Baptize. Amen. It was His plan and His will that when He said it was finished, amen, only meant that it was all, the provision was all in place. Right. Amen. So that the church could be born. Here we are today, blessed to be in a wonderful house of worship. Amen. And God's presence is in here. Amen. Who knows, amen, what God has laid in store for you. Esther thought that she was in the king's palace because of good providence, but God had put her there because He was needing a mouthpiece to talk to the king one day and preserve the people of God. Amen. Mordecai says to Esther, amen, that who knows but you what you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. So she goes to Ahasuerus and she makes her petition. And God's people is preserved from annihilation. Amen. I'm here today to say to you, you are here in God's purpose. You are planted, amen, because of God's will. And God knows what He wants to do in you and through you today. Who knows? Who knows? But what you're here. Amen. What reason God has placed you. I like the words that says in, what is it, Isaiah 61, messianic prophecy. But down about verse 3 or so, it says, I think, if I got the right passage, it says that we are trees of righteousness, the planting, everybody say planting, the planting of the Lord, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Not that I would be glorified, but God would be glorified. God left a church in this world to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. Hallelujah. You're here on purpose. And God is looking for people like you today. You're on God's radar. Hallelujah. Amen. God is, amen, inspecting us today and saying, where is that one? Where is that one? Where is that one? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, friend, today, amen, I'm here today to remind you that your God is looking to show himself strong in your life. Amen. He wants to, but he's looking for a heart turned towards him and a life, amen, turned towards him and a willingness, amen, to step in the gap and make up the hedge. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Let's stand together this morning, this afternoon. And he saw that there was no man. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You just never know. You just never know what God has in store. Hallelujah. Just never know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God. God wants to do something in your life today. Hallelujah. God wants to work in you. God wants to work through you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's destiny in this room here today. God wants to use you in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants you to be part of his eternal plan. He wants you to be a co-laborer with him. Hallelujah. He's looking for people that are willing to, amen, to take, place themselves in second position, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, do the will of God. Do you feel his voice speaking to you today? Hallelujah. As we worship the Lord, let's come today. Let's take a step towards him today. Let's come into his presence this afternoon. Hallelujah. Let's commit ourselves to him. God's looking for people. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to do something with your life you couldn't dream about. He wants to do something through you you could never imagine. Hallelujah. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Amen. Neither has entered the heart those things that God has in store. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to use you today. God wants to make the difference in your life. Oh, let's come into his presence today.